Good morning, everybody. Welcome to everybody. I don't care if you've been going here all your life, you're just here this morning. God bless each and every one of you. Thank you for being here this morning. Just love having you. Before I get to serving, Greg, the other day, this is a story I heard. This is a funny story I heard. I heard it a while back, but I just heard it again here recently. It was talking about a banker walked by the vault in the bank, and when he walked by it, he heard the money talking. And he heard the money talking, and what he heard, the $100 bill was talking to the $50 bill, and the $100 bill said, you know what? He said, where have you been? The $50 bill asked him. He said, well, I've been out to Vail, Colorado. I've been over in Europe. I've been down to the beach. He said, I've just had the time of my life. The $50 bill, he said, where have you been? He said, well, I've been out to some real nice restaurants. He said, I've been to Cabela's. I've been to Pro Bass Shop. He said, I've had a pretty good life as well. Well, those two were talking, Ron, and there's a dollar bill over there. It looked sad face. And they asked him, what's wrong with you? He said, where have you been? Church, church, church. He said, that's all I've ever been. And I thought about that. A preacher said that a few years ago, and I thought, whenever this morning I see he's taking up offering to the Lord's, and I said, man, should I say that, God? But anyway, I thought that was kind of funny. But anyway, praise the Lord this morning. I'm going to look up the scripture. I'm going to give her Luke here just a little bit. If you want to turn to Luke chapter 5, I'm going to be there in just a little bit. But do you know something? 100 years from now, you do understand, no matter how nice you are, or no matter how large a house you live in, or no matter how nice a car you live in, you know, Mon, it isn't going to matter. It doesn't matter what clothes you wear today. 100 years from now, it is not going to matter whatsoever. And it won't matter how much money you've got in the bank. You know, we do understand that. 100 years from now, it is not going to matter. Because 100 years from now, you know what? The only thing that will matter to any of us in here, studying in here, or anybody out there, is whether or not you're saved and whether or not you've helped to lead anybody else to Jesus. Can I have an amen on that? That's the only thing that's going to matter. And you know what? And to drive my point home, I'm going to give you some useless information, and I want you to just be honest with me about this. Anybody in here knows who Niels Bohr is? Anybody at all? Never heard him, right? Well, you know what? He was born in 1920. He died in 2002. And you probably use his invention every day. You probably use it. And if you don't, you at least use it sometime during the week. And you know what? And you have no idea who he was, right? Because like I said, 100 years from now, no one's going to know who he is. But you know what? Even though you don't know who he is, do you realize on average, his device saves 15,000 to 20,000 lives a year, or 15,000 to 20,000 lives each and every year in this country alone, not alone the millions that it saved worldwide. He invented the 3-point safety hitch that you drive in your cars. Now, the belt lap was invented years before that, but he's the one that come up with the 3-point safety hitch. And it saves millions of lives, if not. And we probably would agree that none of us have ever heard of him. I never heard of him. The only reason I did was, for this sermon, I Googled in people whose names you may not know who did good things in life. So it doesn't matter how good you've been in life. Doesn't matter. Like I said, only thing that'll matter is whether or not you've been saved. That's the only thing that's going to matter. Because 100 years from now, no one's going to remember me. My kids will probably be gone. My grandkids will probably be gone. And maybe my great-grandkids, one of these days, will, just like us, Greg, will look out on the tombstone and see, well, that's Dave Longer. That's Greg Phillips. They were relations of mine. But what we did in this life, praise God, the only thing that's going to matter is whether or not we know Jesus Christ as our Savior. Am I right? Now, with that in mind, I've titled my sermon this morning, The Fishing Hole. And I'll get to what I'm going to talk about here in a little bit, because with revival coming up, you don't ever give up on spreading the gospel And don't ever give up on anything that, you know what, when you think people don't pay attention to you trying to get the message of the gospel through to them. Don't ever give up on them. Even if someone in the past has rejected the message, even if they've rejected it, I'm telling you, as long as Jesus is still sitting on the right hand of God, as long as God has let the Holy Spirit down here to convict souls, there's always hope. Always hope. If you would, if you're at Luke 5, chapter 5, let's read one verse, and that's verse 5. And let's stand, if you're able this morning, and read that together. Luke 5, verse 5. And it says this, "And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." I want to say that again. He said, Simon answering said to him, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, to see this morning, Lord, we praise you, Father, for all that you've done, for all that you've blessed us with this morning. We pray, Father, that, Lord, that you would, again, as I always ask, Lord, that you would get me out of the way and put the anointing upon my lips. And, Lord, be with everybody in here this morning. And, Lord, I open their minds, Lord, and I pray, Father, that for the upcoming revival, Lord, that, Father, we would get this message. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen and amen. I am the type of preacher that believes that, you know, there's so much in the Bible about Peter because there's a little bit of Peter in every one of us. Amen? I think there's a little Peter in everybody. I really do. Let me set up where I'm going with this sermon here just a little bit this morning. Let me set it up. First off, this was not Peter's first encounter with Jesus. This was not. If you read in Luke 4, we find that Jesus went to Peter's house. And what did he do there? He healed his mother-in-law. So that was his first encounter. But this is his second. So he explains why, if you're asking the question, why did Peter let Jesus use the boat to spread the message that day? This is why, I'm thinking. Because he had a little bit of acquaintance with Jesus. Amen. So after Jesus taught the people, the Bible tells me he asked Peter to launch out a little ways from the shore. He said, "And let down your nets for a draught." He asked him to do that. He said, "Let down your nets." And as you look at the scripture this morning, it's understandable why Peter wasn't too thrilled to do this. If you look at the scripture this morning, you know that because he didn't care much for a carpenter telling him how to fish. Patty, have you ever fished in your life, just maybe when you were younger a little bit, or maybe have you fished a lot here lately? No. Jamie probably wouldn't be too happy with you if you tried to tell him how to fish. or Rodney, try to tell him how to trout fish. You know what, you get my point. So here's this carpenter, so Peter thinks, trying to tell Peter how to fish. I often think about this. Mike Gribble and Jeremy Comer wouldn't want me to tell them how to do the electrical work. I'm colorblind, Jeremy. I don't think you would trust me to tell you what wires need to be connected, right? So that's my point. You know, I understand Peter to an extent telling Jesus, you know, thinking about this, and, well, you know what? He's telling me that I need to go back out and fish. You see, Peter, along with James and John, were lifelong fishermen, commercial fishermen, so to say. And really, this is what their father did. This is what their father's father did. They were even as good at it as they owned their own boats to do it. And in that day, that was something exceptional. You didn't own your own boat back then unless you were in this business for a long time. So Peter, not understanding who Jesus was, and thinking, I'm not taking fishing lessons from a carpenter. But I wouldn't give him advice on how to build my home. But this, I want you to understand it. So again, the response that Peter gave was somewhat understandable. Somewhat. Because he didn't know who Jesus was truly at this time. Jesus, with all respect, we know the weather. Can you not see Peter thinking this? We know the weather. We know the lake. We know what time of day it is and when the fish are biting, and we have just been out all night. We've got our nets cleaned up, and we didn't catch a thing, Patty. We didn't catch one thing. We've done everything we could. We just not the right time to catch fish. And just take a look at our nets. They're good and clean right now. Good and clean. We've already we'll try again tonight. But Peter, in respect to Jesus, because what he just did for his mother-in-law, says that nevertheless, we're going to humor you, Jesus. And we're just going to show you that carpenters don't know how to fish. Can't you? I can see him thinking that. I really can. I can see him thinking that. He has so certain that he wouldn't catch any fish. You know what he did? He told the other boat to stay close to the shore. He told him to stay in there. You just stay in there. Nevertheless, so Peter does what he's asked to do, but this is important. But here's the issue. He didn't have confidence. He didn't have confidence. He didn't have faith in what Jesus was actually trying to get across for him to do. He didn't have faith in that. He didn't have confidence. Now let me bring it home today. Let's look at it in a way that we say we believe every word in the Bible, and we should. But I mentioned this Wednesday night. We shouldn't believe every word in the Bible. We should believe every letter in the Bible as well. And you know why I say that? You know what? If you look at Matthew 5:18, it tells us, listen, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall no wise pass from the law till all shall be fulfilled. So what's he saying? A jot is the smallest letter in the Hebrew word. That's the smallest one. So, brothers and sisters, when we say we should trust every word in the Bible, it goes deeper than that. We should trust every letter in the Bible. Look back at Luke 5:4 again. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. You see that little S on the end of it? Jesus told him to put down his nets. Look at Peter's response in verse 5 again. And Simon answering said, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. You catch that? Okay, Lord. I don't think you know what you're talking about, but to humor you, we're going to do it part way. We're going to let down one net. I'm not going to have the other boat come out. Jesus is saying, Jesus is telling him, I want every net that you have, I want every boat that you have out in this lake now. That's what he's telling him. And get prepared. And get prepared. Jesus, and Peter is saying, okay, I'll do what you want, Patty, but I'm just going to do it part way. I'll just do it a little bit. But really, I don't think you know what you're talking about. I'm going to do what you asked, but only to the point. Only to the point that I'm giving you the appearance of fully obeying you. You see, Peter's putting on a facade. Amen or oh my. Because there's times we put on a facade. Amen? He's not really fully yielding. He's not very enthusiastic about it either. I'll let down the net. You see, on the surface, Peter looked like he was doing the right thing. But on the inside, he was thinking something totally different. We're all guilty of it. Every one of us in here can be guilty of it. There are no fish to be caught in that lake today. If Peter would have trusted in what the Lord was telling him to do, he would not have to mend his nets. He wouldn't have had to do it. They'd have had the nets out there. And when he tries to pull back in his net, it begins to break. Is that what the Bible says? It begins to break. And there's more fish than his net could handle. And the net broke. And then he has to call the other boat to help. And they said, verse 7, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were on the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships till they began to sink. There's no fish out there. We fished all night, Lord. we know better than you do. They end up with two boats loads of fish, so many fish that both boats were about to sink. Isn't that an amazing miracle? And listen to me. Peter then realizing what such a great miracle it was, he said he never seen such. In verse 8 and 9 it says, and when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which he had taken. At that moment, Peter realized he was a sinful man. Why? Because Peter thought the fishing hole was dry. Because Peter thought that he knew more than Jesus knows. Amen? He thought that he knew more than Jesus knew. But an incredible miracle turns into a problem because Peter thought he knew more than the Lord knew. So everything is good, right? Peter, James, and John, they've learned their lesson about fishing, right? Now, I'm going to get to the main point. This is just building up to it. But if you look at Luke 9, 52 and 56, I want you to turn over there and look at that. Now, Jesus had just got a point across to these guys, right? If you look at Luke 9, 52 and 56, and he sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of Samaritans to make ready for him. They did not receive him because his face was though he would not go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, will thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? And they said, listen, even as Elias did, but he turned and rebuked him and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of, for the Son of Man is come not to destroy man's life, but to save them. And they went to another village. Belinda, they thought that fishing hole was dry too. Can I have an amen? Listen to me, we got revival coming up. I don't know what you think. I don't know where you're at today. But I'm telling you, there's fish to be caught out there. Well, they thought this fishing hole was dry. And James and John had their own way of handling the situation. And James and John didn't learn their fishing lesson. 3 years later, if you turn to Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 8, verse 12. But when they believed Philip's preaching, because Philip went into Samaria, and when they believed his preachings of the things concerning the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus Christ, they were both baptized, men and women. They thought that the fishing hole was dry. But Jesus knew. If it was up to them, they would have destroyed every city in Samaria. How many times have you talked to people and you know what? They've rejected the message. And maybe you've thought on yourself, they'll never, ever come to the Lord. Can I tell you right now, that fishing hole ain't dry until they leave this world. That fishing hole ain't dry. And I'm here to tell you right now that whenever Philip went into that thing and he preached the word of Jesus in power and the Spirit of the Holy and the Holy Spirit working within him, many people got saved because of that. Nets full. Where nets had been dropped before and nothing happened before, but praise God, when the Spirit of God moved, I'm telling you, souls got saved. Souls got saved. Do you know what the Lord did? And He's doing it with us today. He sent out an apostle this way. He sent one that way. He sent one this way. He sent them way. He sent Peter. He sent all those others down through the Old Testament. He sent them out to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to fish. Where sometimes when they went into it, it looked like it was dry holes. But praise God, we know if we read the Bible that the Lord, you know, He worked in those places, and those places where they put down their nets at first and they come up empty, praise God, they ended up, there was many fish to be caught. You know, when they went to Ephesus, when they went to Ephesus, the only thing that they found in that fishing hole at first was the goddess Diana. Remember that? We've been studying that. When they went to Thessalonica, the only thing that was fishing hole was there was the worship of Zeus. When they went to Athens to do fishing, my Bible tells me they even had a god set up to the unknown god. They had so many of them. But praise God, we know this. So much so that they thought that they couldn't catch a thing in those fishing holes. But guess what? Whenever they went into the Philippian jail, and you know what? The Spirit of God moved. They put that net in then, and guess what? There was people saved. Isn't that amazing? Listen to me this morning. I don't know what you think. I don't know where you stand this morning. But praise God, pray that revival falls. Pray that revival falls. And that pray that our young people get so filled with the Holy Spirit of God that you know what? They're the ones that could take it out to a lost and dying world where we think sometimes the fishing holes are dry. Listen, I'm telling you, the Lord knows more about fishing than we do. They put their nets in Ephesus and caught fish. Acts 19 tells us that. They put their net in the Thessalonica and caught fish. Acts chapter 17 tells us that. Why? Because I know the Lord knows more about fishing than any of us could ever know. He knows when the time is right and what needs to be done. Praise God this morning. He knows how to fish. Jamie, you know what bait to use, when to use it, right? For what fish you're going after, right? Amen. I'm telling you, listen, folks, we have a revival coming up. No matter what that, you know what today's society tells us, no matter what's going on in our communities, no matter what folks may tell you, listen, they may have turned you down in the past. As long as God is still in the saving business, people can be saved. The fishing hole still has fish in it. Even though the relatives have turned you down 20 times and they don't want to hear you, listen to me. Keep on fishing. Amen? Keep on fishing. Even though your coworkers and your classmates don't want to hear anything about it. You know what? And you say, you know, in the past, why? And you may be saying in yourself, why ask again? That's just Peter coming out in you. That's just Peter coming out in you. Brother and sister, ask him again. The neighbor who changes the conversation from the moment that you start talking to them about Jesus or about revival or about church, keep on fishing. Don't let the devil ruin that for you. Listen, there's no use. They won't respond. Can I tell you, that's just Peter coming out in you. You see, the Lord doesn't want your input when it comes to fishing. Can I have an amen? The Lord doesn't want your input on it. He doesn't want you, when it comes to fishing for lost souls, He didn't want us to treat Him just like Peter treated Him. Oh, you're just a carpenter. That's the Son of God we're talking to. My Bible tells me this. You know what? You may be thinking to yourself, I know what the Bible says, and that Jesus doesn't know my family. Jesus doesn't know my neighbors. Jesus doesn't know my coworkers. Huh? Do we not think that sometimes? Listen, three nights of revival, I can go to one of them, I'll be fine. I'll pray on Sunday, and that'll be fine. That'll be good. Nevertheless, look at me, Lord. I know how to fish. Do you? Do you really know how to fish when the Lord's saying, you know what? Put every net, put every boat you got, put all your effort into it. Know what He's saying? That's what I get out of that. He's not wanting your input on how much you'll put out. He's wanting you to do everything that you can do. Praise God this morning. You know what? I read that this week and the Lord started to show me that. And I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Listen to me this morning. This comes from my heart. It's not up to us to question whether or not what Jesus Christ asked us to do to reach the lost makes sense or is convenient to you. That's not up to us. He told Peter he wanted every net and every boat. Can I, Can I have an amen? Because I'm telling you here this morning, everybody here that calls their name by the name of Christ, He wants every net, He wants every boat, He wants everything put into this. That's what He's wanting. And He's telling us to do everything at our disposal to try to find and to catch the fish. Colossians 3:23 and 24. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, not unto man, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance, for ye serve the Lord, you serve the Lord Christ. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep in the city, the watchman walketh but in vain. You see, Jesus didn't have him go out to rip his nets and to sink his boats. Jesus wanted him to go out and mind him and listen and do what he asked to do. All this happened because Peter, like some of us today, don't fully trust not only the word, but the letters that are in this Bible. Because he thought he knew more about fishing than Jesus did. You look at verses 9 through 11. It says, when he was astonished that all that were with him at the draught of the fishes that were had taken, and so also was James and John, the son of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. You see, these verses of Scripture wasn't about fish. It wasn't about fishing. Jesus was trying to get a point across to them. Listen, this is bigger than the fish that you're trying to catch. This goes way bigger than that. It wasn't a matter of the water. It wasn't a matter of the nets. It wasn't about the boat. It wasn't about the fishermen. It was about Jesus. Amen? This revival, and I keep going back to that because that's what's coming up, is about Jesus. And if I be lifted up from the earth, he said this, Jesus said this, I will draw what? All men to unto me. Peter finally realized Jesus was a better fisherman than he was. He finally realized, Peter on the day of Pentecost, full of the Holy Spirit, got up and preached in a fishing hole, listen, that looked as dried up as dried could be. They said, in that same place where he put out his net that morning, that day, if you remember right, 50 days beforehand, Jesus was crucified. The people denied Jesus. They even wanted a murderer released, Barabbas, in place of Jesus. Wouldn't you agree with me? That fishing hole looks like that thing's pretty much dried up, right? Well, on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and over 3,000 souls were saved. It's not up to us to determine whether or not the fishing hole is right or not. Amen? He's telling us today on Sunday, May the 18th, 2025, listen to me. You use every means at your disposal to catch the fish. You put every boat, every net in the water. And try to find a fish in the water, and the Lord has given you to fish. Listen, we got a bunch of ways we can put our nets in this church. Like I said, we got revival coming up. We have VBS coming up. We have the ice cream social coming up. We have youth groups. We have a gospel sing coming up, and we have tracts to pass out at this church. Brothers and sisters, we can cast out a lot of nets. Every net, every boat in the water. Folks, you won't catch fish unless you go fishing. I haven't been fishing for years. Just maybe here and there. Me and her used to go fishing when we first married. We'd go fishing a good bit. But we haven't been really fishing like you said, fishing for years. And if I don't catch fish, you know whose fault that is? Rodney, if I don't catch a trout, you know whose fault that is? It's mine. Because I'm not out there trying. I want to ask you this. Let me ask, I've never caught a muskie, never caught a northern pike, but if I went to a place where the muskie were at every day and fished for a year, how many of you believe that I might catch a muskie? How many of you believe that? I mean, even if I caught it in the gills, Jamie, I might even snag it. Who knows? But I would catch one. Now, bring that home today. If we went out with that same type of attitude to fish for the souls of men and women, brother, how many of you think we might catch a fish down through the year? I think we might. I really think we might. Folks, this isn't a slam towards anyone here this morning. But brothers, listen, no one in this building knows more about building a church than Jesus does. No one does. And can I tell you something? When you put out that line or when you put out that net, there's no guarantee that you're going to catch a trout or a bass every time. It may be not the type of fish that you want. It may be a sucker. It may be a carp. But Jesus said, whosoever will. When you put your net in, that fish that comes out of there may be a smelly, stinky, listen to me, it may be somebody that you wouldn't give the time of day. But can I tell you right now, Jesus loves them just as much as He loved you and me at the moment He saved us. When we go out to fish, we cannot pick and choose what kind of fish we want. Amen? He wants us to go out there and fish. You put down a net. If I went fishing, there's no way I could go, if I put in the effort of fishing for men's soul every day like I do other things, brothers, said, praise God, there would be, this church would be so full we couldn't stand it. Can I have an amen? Now let me bring it to, listen, we got to put the effort into it. Listen to me, Ron, if you opened up an Italian restaurant in Parkersburg, you would put it on the radio, you would put it into television, you would advertise on the newspapers, you would advertise on social media with the full intent of knowing that not everybody likes Italian food, but you're going after the ones that like Italian food. Amen? There are going to be people that don't like what you got to say sometimes. But you know what? You're out there to get the ones that are feeling down. You're out there to get the ones that are feeling that they need love. You're out there getting the ones that are feeling they have no hope. We have a message for them this morning. I hope you get what I'm saying here this morning. The Lord put this on me, and when I preach it during the week, I'm preaching it to myself. And I hope and pray this morning you understand the fields are white for harvest. You know, we are His workmen here on this earth. He's the one that wants to go out, no matter where you're at, and draw them in, cast our nets, and bring in those fish. Praise God this morning. Listen to me. Listen, what I would like to do this morning, as we get a altar call this morning, I want you, if you can, let's line this altar this morning and pray that God lets us put out our nets this week. Every one of us. And see what fish we can bring in. Can we do that this morning? Julie, if you don't care, get a song this morning. And as we get this song, if you can, come this way this morning and let's pray.